Hello and welcome to Frozen Tundra Frequencies. This is Draft Talk, recapping day two of the 2024 NFL Draft. Tex Western here, Tyler Brook joining me tonight. It's just a two-man pod. Tyler, we did it.
I really thought about actually recording with my pants off because we've talked about doing the pants off draft, but I was like, I can't make Tex uncomfortable like that. We're just going to plow through it. But after years of manifesting, we got the pants off day. It finally happened.
I can't tell you how many mock drafts between you, me, Justice, Archon have done in the last 6 or 8 weeks that had Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard, or Javon Bullard and Edgerrin Cooper as the Packers' 2 second-round picks at 41 and 58. One way or another, you know, we made a very early, very long-term stamp on those two kind of being our guys in the second round, and it happened.
I can't believe it, man. It's literally my top-ranked backer and safety on the big board, and Edgerrin was obviously the clear, like, tier on his own, and Bullard, you know, is close between three, but I can't believe it, man. I'm just, especially with how the vibe started on the second round.
Yeah.
The Eagles trading up to take Cooper DeJean, and the vibe, like, literally the pick before the Packers were originally on the clock.
And the vibes just plummeted at that point, right? Like, we were all convinced that he was going to make it until you saw Philly trade up. And then it was sort of a, oh, crap. Kind of a moment.
I still had hope even then because they had taken Quinion Mitchell
right
the day before.
Yeah, just... I mean, that tells me that they see him as a safety. I'm pretty convinced of that.
Well, their safeties were pretty brutal last year.
Like, exactly.
Sidney Brown was playing, Blankenship. Did they just replace a white guy with another white safety?
But then, so, and then just that much, made it that much more interesting when immediately after Philly trades up and takes DeJean, the Packers trade back from 41, moving back to 45. They pick up a fifth and a sixth to move back four slots and just sit happy and get Edgerrin Cooper at 45 and get the top linebacker on the board.
Tex, I'm telling you, we need to make the Edgerrin Cooper That Boy Fast shirts. We've been manifesting it all draft process. It's just perfect.
I think we can come up with something. We'll get some Photoshop skills to work here and get some sort of t-shirt game going with that, because yeah, that's too good. But yeah, it's such an interesting fit, you know, with him, Quay Walker sort of being similar players to an extent, and you know, in terms of speed and run and chase ability. I mean, Quay's a bigger dude, right? Quay's closer to 250, but he doesn't move like that. I think he moves like a guy who's smaller than he is. But man, Cooper is just a missile, and it's going to be really fun to see how they end up deploying those two guys as, you know, as your two primary off-ball linebackers. But you know, that all the talk being, you know, Quay's going to move to Will, and I don't know how much those distinctions are really going to make a big difference when they're, you know, the Packers are probably going to be in some form of, you know, 4-2-5 nickel still on a majority of their snaps.
Yeah.
You know, how critical is that distinction anyway? I don't
know. It could also just be that they were lying. They don't want Quay
also
to
true.
Will.
Yeah.
I think the thing I'm most excited about with this scheme fit and role, I think Cooper is the ultimate cleanup guy for one of the biggest Achilles heels of Packers defenses in the last like two decades, and that's mobile quarterbacks. Put Cooper on a spy, and I feel quite confident mobile quarterbacks aren't getting around. Only just because he's disciplined with it, but he's so fast and long, he's going to make a play if you try to escape.
I'm thinking back to the Alabama game, just seeing some of the highlights that he had against Alabama in that one, just unreal. And the plays he was making on the quarterback in the backfield, and you know when Milroe was scrambling, it was fun to watch, man.
I want to know who Gutekunst was talking about in this press conference just now, talking about how badly he wanted to trade up for guys and still got them. And I'm wondering if Cooper was one of those, because they traded back, and like that had to be a stressful few picks if Cooper was the guy. The other thing I wanted to point out about that, Kool-Aid would have been probably the logical option. And literally he's who went after the Packers trade back with that pick.
Yep.
And I'm honestly kind of relieved. The foot thing scares me, how he plays against the run. I mean, I've been pretty vocal. Him and Guyton were the two big ones I did not want. And even the avoid article we did, Cooper was the third guy, but it was just, I don't want him in the first round, but I want him.
Yes. Yeah.
Funny that how this all works out.
Yeah, that was an important distinction there. But, you know, I think that could be one of them. Because, the comment that you're referring to, basically said that we ended up acquiring some guys that we were trying to, or we thought we might have needed to move up for. I wonder if that was the pick at 58 in Javon Bullard.
Yeah, I think
safety from Georgia.
Definitely.
That one was the one that makes sense to me. And especially because that one kind of set off a mini safety run, because I think Cole Bishop went two picks later to Buffalo. If Bullard is there for Buffalo, I think they're scooping him up for sure. I was sitting on pins and needles, for the mid-50s. Kind of as we were with, all right, what would they can do with Cooper, in the 40s. But once they got him, it's like, okay, this could happen. And if they, can they stand pat at 58, still get Bullard? And I wasn't convinced that they were going to be able to pull that off. And obviously it fell that way for them. But, they've got so many of these picks now in day three. I'm genuinely surprised that they did not manage to move up to secure those guys. But again, the fact that they got their guys, didn't have to move for them, and in case of Cooper, they were able to move back, get a couple more picks, and it gives them so much flexibility moving into to day three. And we'll get to that, I think, in a little bit. But let's get back to Bullard, because with the Packers on the clock, I tweeted it out, if they take Javon Bullard, we're going streaking. And believe me, that was a check that I did not intend to cash, even if it came through. But that was like, that was where the vibes were at. And then when it finally came across the Twitter feed, I think my wife thought I was going to lose my mind. Had lost my mind. Yes. A couple of us did in the Slack. It was, oh man. That sent us on full tilt in the best possible way.
Just, I'm just thinking about we've had so many fun drafts. We've always had the day three dopamine hits. It feels like
right. The
day two dopamine hits on this. We're out of this world. I'm just so excited about what Bullard can do with McKinney. Like, the safety room is just completely turned around. The vibes went from there's nothing here to this might be one of the stronger starting units. I'm very excited to see what they can do here.
And this is the guy that if you wanted a versatile safety to pair with McKinney, so that you can really play those two guys off of one another, rock and roll your safeties a little bit based on offensive formations, not have to, necessarily play McKinney as a dedicated free safety and get a box guy. This was the guy you had to have. He was really the only one who, tested well enough and has done a lot of that stuff that I think you could really have trusted to do that in this safety class. And so that's as much as anything. Like, I think fundamentally he's going to be a really good player, and he is a really good player, but I think the fit is the other part that we're so damn excited about with this player, just because of what they've said that they want to do with the safeties, and with the fact that he's the best guy in this draft class to fit what they have said that they want to do.
I also just love the person.
Yes.
Go back and look at any interviews for him. Just incredibly smart. Loves diving into the X's and O's. Yep. And then watch the video of him getting the call that he was a Packer, and he loses his mind.
It's great.
I always love the kids that are just ready to be in Green Bay. You always get pretty good vibes about that. I feel like it usually pans out. I mean, Rashawn Gary always comes to mind, just openly weeping that he was going to be there.
Dylan's another one. I mean, Dylan's Green Bay vibes, obviously, with the Door County thing are off the charts. But with Bullard, I retweeted a couple of the clips that I got from Bullard from the combine. Where, I mean, you can see just his passion for the game and just his personality coming through. Funny guy. He's a great interview. I think he's going to be a media star. Like the media is going to absolutely love him. Up in Green Bay. I think he's from kind of rural-ish Georgia. Let me see if I can find that. But I think that's correct. But he actually said, like, yeah, I don't really know anything about Green Bay. I know it's a pretty small town, but that's okay. He's from Milledgeville, Georgia. So it's like, it looks like it's about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta in, fairly small, fairly smallish town. Only about 20,000 people or so. This isn't a guy, who's coming from a huge metropolis or something. I think, he can probably be pretty well at home in Green Bay, focus on football, which, very much seems to be, his entire focus. So, just feels like a really good culture fit. That's, something the Packers have harped on for years. They said that about both him and Cooper, that, in terms of the players and the people, they got good ones. And it's tough to be it's tough to imagine any possible scenario that would have worked out better for the Packers based on this. And again, it's kind of what we all had in our minds as the ideal day two, round two possibility. And the fact that it came through, and not only that, those players were on the board, but that they actually went ahead and took those guys that we were so high on. It does feel like a little bit of vindication for for all the work that we've been doing to some extent, and makes us feel good about our evaluation of some of these guys as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do want to move on to the next pick,
Yeah,
because
let's
it
do
was a
it.
little divisive, but I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah, good.
I am like RB6, and like I mean, had a day two grade on him, but I was on Justice and I did John Meerdink's pod, and we were talking about like what kind of running backs we want. And like I was very adamant, like the two options I would want are either Jaylen Wright or Marshawn Lloyd, because what I want behind Jacobs is a home run threat, and I get that it's maybe considered a risky pick. There's like a low floor on him because of vision questions and stuff like that. If Jacobs gets cut in 2.5 years to clear cap, like you can just take another swing at a running back. You don't have to be tied to Lloyd just because he was like a third round pick. But like the not only does he have like that home run breakaway speed at pretty dang good size, he's competitive as hell. Just because he gets hit does not mean the play is over. He will fight his tail off. That being said, I think the technique needs more polish. Like he is so fearless that he's not worried about getting low. And that's kind of a problem. There are also ball security concerns that popped up a couple times, but I just think he has some dip and burst and some like flashes of really good vision to set up blockers that I like. This guy is the change of pace back. We were like, let's get Jacobs a breather and let's see if this guy can hit a home run on this scheme. I think he'll be a ton of fun.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's I joked in the Twitter spaces today that the Packers are making the whole plane out of 220-pound running backs
Is he
because
220?
he weighed in at 220 at the combine. He's
That's
5'9", 220. And then he went out and ran a 4.46 at the combine.
insane. Yep,
That's
that's right.
fun. That's real fun.
So
And
I think he bulked up for the combine because I thought he was lighter than that. I'm
so I
looking at
saw somewhere
USC.
where he was listed at about 215. So maybe he did add on, pack on a
USC had
little
him
bit.
as 210.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's that's a little different then. I wonder what he played at South Carolina before he transferred
Yeah.
to SC too. But that's an interesting one going from one USC to the other. It was a fun little thing. But he doesn't.
NFL.com compares him to Jerick McKinnon. I think that's a fun comp.
Interesting. McKinnon's a lot
Yeah.
lighter, a lot he's not nearly as thickly built as Lloyd is. I heard somebody say, I think it might have been Jeremiah. So one of the interesting things that on the broadcasts, Justice was watching the ABC broadcast. They had Nick Saban on. Saban said Lloyd was his RB2 in the entire class.
And Daniel Jeremiah
Daniel
had
Jeremiah
RB1.
had him RB1. I was watching NFL Network and caught that one. So certainly, like some of these guys have him, obviously, right at the top of this draft class. So one thing that surprises me is that It feels like he could have been a really good fit, maybe in Dallas, who picked one pick before the Packers. And I was actually kind of thinking, all right, maybe the Packers look at Jalen Wright from Tennessee, and maybe that's one where he won't get to Green Bay because Dallas might take him. And then I think Dallas took, gosh, I don't remember who they took, but it wasn't a running back. They went off the board somewhere
Cooper
else.
Beebe, maybe.
Maybe it was BB. I want to say it was a later pick, but either way, they went
Lufau.
with a different position. That's right. They went with a different position and left the backs on the board. So I think we all sort of saw the possibility of that late round three running back. I think we just sort of didn't see Lloyd as maybe the guy that they were going to go for. But he's, I mean,
No,
he's fun.
stylistically, it makes sense entirely.
So
Like, a quorum or an estimate or something would just be too redundant with what they have, which is why I always thought a Wright or a Lloyd made sense. Just like someone, maybe even like a Ray Davis, like just someone that has like that. Can I separate at the second level instead of just getting to the second level and getting tackled?
So no, I think this is a fun one. It initially it didn't really move the needle for me much one way or the other. I thought, okay, it's fine. I would have been very excited with Jalen Wright for again, breakaway speed. That's something Wright certainly has. I mean, he was low 4.3s if I remember right, but certainly, that's something that Lloyd's got as well to some extent. And I think durability thing, sort of thing is something where Lloyd's going to have that a little bit in a way that Wright wouldn't. He's certainly much more thickly built, and he also doesn't have a whole lot of tread taken off his tires. He's got
Was just about
he's
to
only
say.
got about yeah he's only got about 200 and some less than 300 carries in his college career. So he hasn't taken a ton of hits, which is also nice. So yeah,
Total
I think
caveat that he played with Caleb Williams, but he averaged 7.1 yards per carry, which is
yeah,
just stupid.
that's bonk. And he averaged like 17 yards per reception. He didn't catch a whole lot of balls, but he averaged almost 20 yards per catch out of the backfield.
His like
So
start stop burst, like once he like finds the hole or has to redirect, is just so fun.
yeah, awesome.
I do think he's gonna he, like he's just something that they don't have in the backfield, and it will be fun when he gets one of those like with open space.
I'm interested to see, what kind of a weapon he could be in the screen game. I think that could be an area where he could potentially, really do
Oh
some good
yeah,
things.
big time.
Especially, yeah, again, you get him following some blockers and getting some open space. That seems like an area where he could really potentially contribute for this team. So
Yeah.
fun stuff. And then we can kind of end on a little bit of a downer, at least for us. So pick 91, Packers take another off-ball linebacker. This time it's Tyron Hopper from Missouri, who had a official visit with the Packers this season, somewhere in the last month. But like 160-ish on the consensus board, taking him at 91. So feels like a reach. One of the things that I thought was interesting about this is Gutekunst said that they had five guys in all five picks yesterday and today that they felt they had round two grades or better on, which that one is fascinating to me. If they had a round two grade on Tyron Hopper, certainly, an athletic guy. He's I think about 6'2", 230, similar just size to Cooper in that respect. I don't know if he's as long as Cooper is, arms and things, but similar size, not quite as fast, but Packers timed him in the high 4.5s, so very good speed there as well. I don't necessarily see that as a see this see it, this player as a top 60 guy. So it surprises me to hear that they would have had a round two grade on him, and
Yeah.
that it felt like a very much of a reach pick, and certainly this is one where they're trusting their eval of this player. And it
My theory. Oh, go ahead.
no I just that it their eval doesn't seem to match up with the general evaluation of the player from the rest of the league, or from at least the media pieces of things.
Justice can't be with us, but he just responded to that tweet about the top two rounds thing about Hopper and said, I want him waterboarded. My theory on why they have a grid like that, the only explanation is they have a very specific role in mind for him. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily believe that's linebacker. I think he's a little light for an off-ball linebacker, at least before he bulked up for the combine. He also just really struggles with keys and vision. Like, he looks slow reacting to things, especially if it's like polars where guys coming across the formation, sometimes a little hesitant to even like make contact with blockers. But like some kind of like hybrid slot role, maybe, where like big slot, not Preston Smith. Something like that might make sense to me, because he can move pretty well. He's got legitimate explosiveness. Again, that's my only theory, because I had a day three grade on him. I watched 133 guys. He was my 125th player. Just was very surprised about it. I do think he can also be a legitimate special teams contributor, but that just doesn't feel like a value add at this point when you have eight more picks on day three.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did such a good job, I think, of reading the board and reading where guys were going to fall, that it surprises me that, unless they felt like there were other teams that sort of had similar views on him. It surprises me that would be somebody that they would still go for that early. But, to me, he feels like a guy who, he's probably going to contribute on special teams, which is all well and good, but you don't really draft a special teams only contributor in round three, and you certainly don't put a round two grade on a player like that. So to your point, I think they've got to have something in mind for him defensively. Just be really interesting to see what that ends up being.
Yeah. Well, day three should be fun. I mean, I'm kind of stunned at some of the players still on the board. I don't know what happened to Troy Franklin, if it's a medical or something else. I get he's small, but that one shocks me. TJ Tampa, similar. I had a top 35 grade on Tampa.
No.
Cedric Gray's
out there. Jaden Hicks. Doorless. There's a couple guys where
I've been vindicated on Hicks.
Yeah, I was gonna say the NFL seems that they agreed with you and Justice on a couple of these guys in a way that a lot of the media people didn't, and that's Hicks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Both of those guys still out there at this point.
Trotter was all media hype because of his dad. Nepotism backer. We didn't take the nepotism backer. Clap.
Yeah. But I mean, looking ahead, I could see the Packers, going for a defensive tackle. Mekhi Wingo from LSU is still out there. Yeah, Brandon Dorless from Oregon is still out there. Nice. Yeah. I mean, he's Dorless is, I mean, would he be potentially like, I mean, he'd probably be a three tech.
He's still just dang up
a little bit. Yeah. So one of the other interesting things I want to touch on, though, before we really wrap up too much, is that we had 28 of the 30 official Packers visits reported by the time we got to the draft. And Ian Rappaport of NFL Network kind of sort of broke that Spencer Rattler had he made it sound like Spencer Rattler had an official visit with Green Bay very late in the process, which was very interesting. He came on and was talking about that right after they made the Lloyd pick, kind of speculating that maybe the Packers would be considering Rattler with 91 because they had him in for a visit. That was very surprising to me. Which means they had both him and Xavier Leggett in for visits after having gone to South Carolina's pro day and seeing Rattler at the Senior Bowl. So that whole situation seems fascinating and just feels like there's some serious questions that they still couldn't feel comfortable with after all of those meetings, meeting at the pro day and everything, that they still felt the need to kind of bring him in and evaluate him a little bit more in person late in the process. That one,
it's like Drew Lock vibes again.
Yeah, it's that's a weird one. So,
yeah.
strange.
That's one guy you got to do your homework on, though, because anyone that watched that Netflix show when he was on high school was like, wow, this kid is an a-hole for a child. And then he got humbled really fast at Oklahoma, and it seems like he's matured at South Carolina. So do you want to take that chance if you are taking a quarterback?
And maybe maybe it's as simple as that, right? They want to really just get him in the facility, get to know the guy, and see if, you know, that's somebody that they're willing to take a chance on, maybe, you know, early on day three. 100%. Just based on the tools, like, he's better quarterback than Sean Clifford. End of story. Like, he's got a heck of a lot better arm than Sean Clifford does.
My hot take is I think the best fit for Radler would actually be the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because, like, that is, like, the most logical backup to Mahomes for me. Like, sure. You know, the perfect guy to learn under. And Carson Wentz ain't it. So maybe it'd be an upgraded backup.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. But, all right. Well, let's just kind of finish wrapping up a little bit on day three guys who we like that are out there or who are interesting. Austin Booker, the edge out of Kansas, he had a Packers visit. Mm-hmm. He's a possibility, maybe. Jalen Wright's still there, Tennessee running back. Man, Tennessee's offense is really hurting their players' draft prospects, right?
100%. It's a fake offense.
Yeah. I guess the only guy was the Jalen Hyatt, still at least got drafted highly last year, but.
Not as high as people were saying, though. Remember, there was like first round hype, and then he fell.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you look at receivers; like, you get some interesting big bodies out there. Mm-hmm. Johnny Wilson is kind of a fun.
No, thank you.
But yeah, no. Big slot. You
know, Javon Baker is the one man.
I was just
if there's any receiver they're gonna take, I would freak out if they got Javon Baker.
He's the next one that I was gonna say. I mean, he's in that Packers mold: 6'1", 200-ish. You know, is he kind of that route runner, you know, smooth route running kind of guy? I feel like that's probably Baker. So that could certainly fit.
Like an ultimate separator on the outside with stupid body control on the sideline. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That guy. That'd be fun. I'm curious to see where he goes in general. The guy I want, you already know, it's Malik Mustafa.
Yes.
Double digit safety.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, it's just the perfect sit behind guys. Maybe you can play a little slot in like substitution packages, learn.
And one of the things there again for him, kind of like Bullard, is Mustafa played all over the defense. I mean, he played a ton in the slot, deep box. Like, it didn't matter. He did everything for Wake Forest. And again, if they are really valuing the guy's abilities to line up all over the formation. And do a lot of different things. I mean, that would make sense to me. I feel like, again, you know, size is sort of a question there. I mean, but then again, they went with Bullard, who's 5'10 and a half. So, I mean, Mustafa's right in that same similar kind of size range. So that'd be a fun one. Let's see. Offensive line, I want to look through the interior guys a little bit because I think tackle were pretty – probably feeling pretty well set, but could still certainly use some depth on the interior. Christian Mahogany from Boston College, certainly, you know, one that, you know, Jeff Hafley would know well and would be able to weigh in on. I think Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, especially if you want a guy who, you know, you are, you know, bringing along slowly and maybe, you know, give him a redshirt year and look at him as a potential option, you know, in the starting lineup. In 25, McCormick could be a really good option. He's a crazy athlete. Question, you know, again, coming out of South Dakota State is about the quality of play, but SDSU's, you know, one kind of taken over the mantle from North Dakota State as the top FCS program in the last couple of years. So they're certainly in there. Who's the other? I mean, then you've got
Cedric Van Pran
from Georgia. I mean, Tanner Bordellini, the Wisconsin guy, you know, exceptional athlete there too. Would rather see him in guard just because I don't want to see him snap again, but that's fine.
So slow.
so there's still a lot of interesting interior linemen. And I think, you know, I would be very surprised if they didn't draft one or two of these guys, you know, in rounds 4, 5, 6.
There's no way he makes all 8 picks, right? He has 8 more picks.
I can't imagine. Insane. One of the things
that was,
One of the things he did say that was I thought was interesting was he alluded to the possibility of acquiring future picks, and so maybe spinning off a couple of those, or trading up or trading back or something, and getting some future picks involved in there too. So that was I thought that was an interesting comment, and something that certainly could be a possibility because yeah, there's it's. There aren't that many roster spots, right? Like, if they were to make all these picks, just as has been harping on it, they would only have five slots for UDFAs after the draft. And there's no way they're going to keep all these guys on the 53. So
No chance.
even if they're, even when they were sitting at 11, that was a lot of guys to be adding to this roster to potentially be making the final 53. So it's tough to imagine them still making all eight of those picks. I mean, I would love to, move up in round five. You've got what? So here's the list of what we got left, right? So round four, 126, that's the Packers' original pick. Round five, they traded their original round five as part of the Rasul Douglas trade to get that 91st pick for Hopper. But then they've got 168, which was part of the New Orleans trade earlier today. And then they got 169, which is their own compensatory pick. So you got back-to-back picks at 168, 169. Then in the sixth round, you have 190, also from New Orleans, then 202 and 219. And then it's in round seven, you get 245 and 255. So like, what are you going to do with three sixth-round picks? I mean,
Vibe, just vibe.
right. So, move up, use some of those, move up and, early into round five or something. Get in before there's a run, or if somebody, one of these guys starts to fall. Let's say, don't know, Bortolini or McCormick falls into the early fifth round. All right, what the hell? Go up and get him. A Wingo. You get a Wingo at 126, for example. And all right, what the heck? Let's double dip and take like a Christian Boyd or something. I don't know. There's so much flexibility now. It's just a matter of, moving around the board and seeing where you can go. So, and I do like the idea of, adding a future pick here and there
Yeah,
for next
for
year
sure.
too. Especially again, because to your point, you're not going to have all these roster spots for these guys.
Just give me one or two more dopamine hits. Today was great, though. I mean, I'm sorry. I did not want to do it until the end of the episode. The Pacers win as Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard were happening. My dopamine receptors were overloading to the point I was like dizzy. I'm not
If
even exaggerating about
the
it.
Bucks had managed to pull off that win somehow, that would have just sent Wisconsin sports Twitter into an absolute uncontrollable frenzy. So.
Chris Middleton can go fuck himself. I'm sorry. He is so good and I hate it.
Oh man, yeah. When Mitt is on, man, he is something special. But
So dirty.
anyway, guys, we did it. We got the fast boy, we got the versatile boy, and we got a fast bowling ball of a running back too. So that's kind of
I'm
fun.
so excited, man. These are
Yeah.
gonna be fun players.
Yep. So, all right. Well, let's then we'll close it down here. You can certainly see all of our work continuing on at Acme Packing Company and for your work at Draft Talk.
And
So make sure,
Acme Packing Company. Hey now,
yes.
I'm gonna be
Yep.
doing some film
Well, I
stuff,
was saying
guys. Packers rookie previews, baby.
us at Acme Packing
Yes,
Company
yes, yes,
together.
yes.
So but yeah, make sure to if you can and are willing to do so, please continue to spread the word about Frozen Tender Frequencies here. We're gonna see where day three takes us. We may or may not do a full episode depending on kind of schedule and kind of how everything breaks down for day three. It's gonna be the end of a very fun but very long week. So
100%.
hang with us. We'll be doing Twitter Spaces on the Acme Packing Company Twitter feed as well. So keep an eye out for those throughout the day on Saturday. And yeah, any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
It is 12:42. Not as delirious as previous years, but my throat is just, my voice is going. Thank goodness we don't have live streams tomorrow.
Let's respect to that. And let's get some sleep. We will reconvene tomorrow, noon Eastern time. See what happens with those 8 picks that the Packers hold on day 3. And we'll see if we can get a little few more fun dopamine hits before things wrap up. So
Gutekunst intervention. That's too many picks.
Do not. Yeah. Russ Ball, you have to tell him to do something about this. This is not happening. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Go Pack, go.